for the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where the bottom, from the inside of your castle, to the fears lying deep inside your subconscious. It's time for the Big Scary Show.
This is the Count Gordivol from Creature Feature, the weekly band program at www.countgord.com, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show!
Hello, darling. This is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Horror Show Jack, and I am the custom fangmaker at Scares of Kara, and you are listening to the Big Scary Show.
Jackpot, where are you? Oh, I think I heard her. She's buried in a box somewhere. What are you doing in there? What are you doing in there? Huh?
Yes, just sauntering by like you own the place. Get a job, you little fuzzball.
Here I am, moving. And what are those three chuckle nuts doing? Just kicking back and enjoying the 4th of July like anybody else. I mean, Storm. He decides he's going to sit there and twat lightning in a bottle and complain about potato salad?
Really?
Boy, that'll take a whole hot minute for.
Whatever.
And then on Scare Actor? Well, he's decided he's going to face his own fears in this episode when it comes down to owning a hearse. I told him, dude, get a Prius. No, he had to get a hearse.
Mr. Scary.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Zip ties will not hold the gas tank on. Jeez. Okay. And then there's Mr. Freaking World Traveler.
Mr. Badger had to go travel. I gotta go to the convention.
You know, he's hanging out the Scares of Care weekend in Virginia. Yeah. Yeah, go down there and hang out now and interview Elvira and Horror Show Jack there, buddy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, must be tough getting fangs, too, while you're at it.
Yeah. Joe Ripple from Scares of Care.
Now, Joe's a good dude.
Yes, life is so tough being the Badger.
I'm Mr. Voice of the podcast. Yeah, whatever. Dude.
I'm gonna finish getting this crap done. Maybe I can find the cat. Jackpot, where are you? Oh, yeah. Hope they remember to have a question for the gruesome giveaway in this episode. I'm not going to come up with it this time. I come up with all the good ideas, don't I, Jackpot? Yeah, yawn at me. Thanks a lot. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to put some music together for people so they can continue doing their builds. What should I use? No horror punk this time. Something scary. Not like my stuff will elicit any fear. Anyway, back to getting these boxes put away. All that and more on The Big Scary Show.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here, live at Scares of Care, getting ready to get a pair of custom fangs made. This is going to taste really awful, isn't it?
Like a cheat gum.
Yeah, great. So sit here, bite on this stuff to get an impression made, right?
Yep.
Here you go.
Right in the center. Right down. Pull your lips over. Make sure all... There you go. Bite down for 2 minutes.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here live. The Scares at Care Weekend Ultimate Charity Convention down here in beautiful Williamsburg, the Tidewater of Virginia. First year they've had this, and they have got a plethora of great stars here. And I'm standing, or sitting, I should say, in front of one that I've been a fan of for, let's just say, a long time. One of the most beautiful 39-year-old actresses I've ever seen in my life. You may know her by another name. We all know her as Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira, the lovely, vivacious, and talented Cassandra Peterson. How are you doing here at Scares of Care?
I'm doing great. It's a lot bigger, a lot more people than I even imagined, which I'm so happy about, so that they can make a little cash for a good cause.
Absolutely. You know, being a charitable a charity convention like this, first year too, and let's face it, you're 30 minutes from the Atlantic Ocean, so it's not like it's centrally located, but yet they got a lot of people here. As you can see, just fans everywhere, major stars, yourself here. Saw you at Mad Monster. You were looking great as always. How have things been going in between?
Things have been going really, really great. I've been working a lot. I just finished two music videos this week. One for an artist called Ryan Adams, who's a songwriter, a musician. And then one for my new record that's coming out this Halloween called Two Big Pumpkins. And I sprained my wrist holding one of the pumpkins. My pumpkins are so big that I actually sprained my wrist.
Never mind the slight drop of sweat that's appeared on my forehead, because, you know, you can interpret that in many different ways. But tell us a little bit about the new CD that's coming out.
The nude CD? Oh, new CD. Okay.
Exactly.
The new CD, it will be out this fall, and it's written by Fred Schneider from the B-52s. And it is coming out from Third Man Records, Jack White's company. And it is an awesome vinyl. It'll also be on the internet as a single. But it's a vinyl right now, and it's got an amazing cover with heat-sensitive ink, so you can, like, rub it, and all kind of crazy stuff happens. And, it's a big deal. It's going to be really awesome. So it'll be out this Halloween.
Is this going to be like a collection of Halloween-themed type songs, or is this going to be something a little different?
Well, on one side is Two Big Pumpkins. On the other side is 13 Nights of Halloween, which is the other single. So it'll just be those two, and I'm really happy to be working with Fred, and, of course, always happy to be working with Jack. We did another vinyl that Jack's company, Third Man, brought out a couple of years ago, and it's been really successful.
I just got the word today. I saw listed on several social media sites and news sites that you're going to be back at Not Scary Farm out in California for the 2014 Halloween season.
I am. I am so thrilled because I started at Knott's doing my show there in 1982, and I did 21 years. And then it was taken over by new management, who didn't do a celebrity there in the park. And then I went back last year, and I'm coming back this year. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I've been there 150 years so far, but I am stoked about it. I can't wait. It's a really awesome show, really big. I mean, we have amazing dancers, the Academy of Villains, who have been on all kinds of television shows, every dancing show you can name, and some magic and some special effects and singing, and it's awesome.
Sounds like it's going to be a great show, and hopefully everybody will get out to Not Scary and check that out. Is this your first time back in a few years, or have you had previous shows recently?
Last year was my first time back after a 12-year break. And so this year will be my second. It was really successful last year, and we hope to keep that going for a while.
Excellent, excellent. You know, going back a few years, as you said, you started this 20-some-odd years ago. 30-some-odd years ago, but yet you're only 39. So
I was 9 years old.
It's one of those crazy, crazy things. But I've got to ask you, there's a lot of mystery about how you got started in this business. You know, there's rumors about Vegas, and there's rumors about showgirls, and there's rumors about things like that. What really happened? How did you become, you know, a girl growing up in Kansas to, you know, mega horror host in L.A. and everything Elvira?
Well, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version, but
please,
you'll have to buy my autobiography whenever that comes out for all the details. But, I don't know. I was born in Kansas on a farm and ended up moving to Colorado Springs when I was about 9 years old. And from Colorado Springs, the day after I graduated, I headed to Las Vegas where I got a job as a showgirl. Apparently the youngest showgirl in Las Vegas history. I started when I was 17 years old. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records, so whatever they say. Became a showgirl there at the Dunes Hotel in 1969. And then worked for a couple of years there, and then went over to Europe and worked in the Folies Bergères, another dancing show, and then moved to Italy where I was with in a band singing for a couple of years, and then, oh my gosh, I don't know, went to Miami to dance in another show at the Playboy Club, and then finally moved to Hollywood where I decided to concentrate on acting, and especially on comedy acting, and that's when I hooked up with the Groundlings Theater, who spawned the likes of Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens, and Bill Hartman.
Who you've done movies with.
Yeah, absolutely, done movies with all of them, and John Paragon, Lorraine Newman, and, you know, a million other people since then. John Lovitz and Julia Sweeney. Practically all the casts of Saturday Night Live are made up of groundlings. And then I got the part of Elvira in 1981 for a local television station in L.A. And about a year and a half into it, I was able to syndicate the show nationally and went nationwide. I did a Coors beer ad campaign that lasted, I did a couple years and then took a break and then did a couple more years with them and then did a Pepsi commercial thing that was national. And so that's kind of how the character.
The rest is history.
Yeah, long story.
Seen
you
and everything from the beer to WCW pay-per-views and all that stuff.
No, it's been crazy. Been
awesome. One heck of a ride.
Yep.
And now you're doing the convention circuit. You've been doing this for a while. How is it meeting and greeting your fans and things like this?
I love meeting the fans. I really do. It really makes me happy to see the people still, you know, like the character, that's still relevant, that people grew up with it. And I don't know. They're always so happy to see me, and I'm so happy to see them. It's kind of like this little mutual fan club thing. It's awesome. So I have a great time doing these. I do these in between working. I'm doing a couple of other TV shows. I just did one coming out soon on, oh gosh, what is it on? I forgot. It's a new show called Area 51 that's coming out. Just did a part on that. I'm doing another TV show. Oh my God. Oh yeah, July 6th on the O Network for Oprah. I'm doing July 6th in just a week or so. It's called Where Are They Now? But it's kind of a little background of Elvira, and they're doing a whole special story on me. So
well, I know where you are right now.
Yeah, I'm right here now. But doing some TV and some different things. So, but in between, I love doing the conventions and meeting fans.
The search for a new Elvira that came out a few years ago, a couple seasons, I believe. I assume you had a major role in that. How did that turn out? Or are the people who won still making appearances like that? And what do you think about other people like, Patterson Lundquist, who does Elvira, and some other people who do things? Is that flattering? Is it kind of crazy? Do you have contact with these people? What is your impression of so-called fake Elviras, for lack of a better word?
Search for the Next Elvira was our idea to get a bunch of Elviras going around at malls, actually, at Halloween time, just like Santa Claus. That was our dream idea. And then we decided to sell that idea to a television network, so we did it on Fox Reality. And we had a contest. We had 2,000 people turn out, dressed as Elvira, And out of those, we picked 13.
I can imagine that being a lot of 17-year-olds just absolute wet dreams right there, 2,000 Elviras.
Yeah, maybe. It was pretty crazy. I mean, can you imagine, like, 2,000 people?
I'm just trying to get the mental imagery right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know.
I am sweating.
It was at the Queen Mary in Long Beach. It was insane. And we whittled it down to 13, and then we whittled that down to the one that won, April Wallen. And it was just a one-month-long reality show for the month of Halloween. And it went the way we hoped it would go. It was great. The girls were great. And April had a one-year contract to do a few appearances. Unfortunately, they still want to see the real Elvira. So so it didn't work out so great after that one-year period, but, you know, for her. But she was awesome. Decided to keep doing Elvira. What can I say? I had this fantasy about retiring, and then I was like, oh, I guess I'm not.
And speaking of not retiring, you're doing a con circuit now. Where can people maybe see you from, say, now until, you know, the next 3 to 6 months down the road? Any major conventions that people can make their plans to come visit and get autographs and such?
Yeah, well, I am doing quite a few convention appearances before Halloween. I start at Knott's Berry Farm in the middle of September, so I start rehearsals there in August. But until before then, I'm going to be in San Antonio, Texas, Chicago. Oh my gosh, where else? I've got several. Rio de Janeiro.
Nice.
I know. I can't wait to see that. And it's so weird outside of the U.S. Brazil is my second biggest fan base. Isn't that bizarre?
Do you speak Portuguese?
No, I do not. I speak Italian, but Portuguese is the weirdest language that ever existed, isn't it? It's a very unusual language. So that'll be awesome. And then I have another television show and project I'm going to be doing for the month of October, which I am not able to speak about yet, but I'll be on TV for the whole month of October.
Excellent.
As well, in addition to the live show at Knott's. So.
It wouldn't be October without Elvira, would it?
That was a good thing for you to say. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I hope so. I hope everybody...
That's like December without Santa or something.
Yeah, damn it. That's what I say.
You're Halloween's version of Santa, and we love you for that.
I ain't called the Queen of Halloween for nothing.
Darn right. For people interested in maybe your convention appearances that you may not have named at the moment, or catching some more information, or when you're ready to get that information out to the public and all, what kind of websites, social media sites can people follow you on?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Elvira.com is my website. Which I participate in very, very heavy-handedly. And my webmaster will tell you that. And
is it really you or is it people?
I'm 100% involved. It's a business I run, and I'm involved. I have people, obviously, who are a lot more tech-savvy than myself, that's for sure, running the website. But Elvira.com, and then if you go there, you can get on my Facebook page or my Twitter account. It's at The Real Elvira, the Twitter account. And it's Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, official for Facebook. And, yeah, a million ways to get a hold of me and find out what I'm doing and all that other stuff.
Well, Miss Peterson, it has been an absolute delight and pleasure. You looked wonderful at Mad Monster. You look absolutely stunning again here at Scares the Care. I wish you nothing but success. Looking forward to seeing this secret TV project that'll coming out when else? October. And everybody get out to Not Scary and check out the brand new show for 2014. But we're not at October yet. It's actually late June, and we're here at the Scares That Care Weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia. My name is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show, and we are out. It's the day after Halloween, and you didn't get a chance to visit all the haunted houses you wanted to see. Now you have to wait 11 long months. Isn't there anything you can do? Of course there is! You can go on the legendary Haunt Tour! Join us in New England this November and experience 3 world-class haunted attractions for one low price, including Nightmare New England, Haunt Overload, and Fright Kingdom. Your ticket price includes tours of all the attractions and 2 evening parties. As a bonus, there will be an option to explore historic Salem, Massachusetts. For tickets, hotel information, and more, visit LegendaryHauntTour.com, and we'll see you in November in New England. The Legendary Haunt Tour is brought to you by Transworld and Netherworld Haunted House.
Gravetone Productions, The Final Hour. on the Big Scary Show.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start off with this news from Scare LA. Disneyland fans, hang on to your lap bars. Scare LA is thrilled to announce the addition of Disney legend Alice Davis to its special presentation when Hinges Creek, celebrating 45 years of the Haunted Mansion. Representing her late husband Mark Davis, Alice will join Disney legend Bob Gurr and DoomBuggies.com's Jeff Baham on August 9th at Scare LA as fans celebrate the iconic Disneyland attraction on its actual 45th anniversary. The group will reminisce about the mansion's design and development, as well as take questions from audience members. This is obviously a really exciting announcement that we've been waiting to share with everyone, says Rick West, creative programming producer for Scare LA and owner of Theme Park Adventure. When the production team decided that we were going to celebrate the world's most famous haunted house at Scare LA this year with a Haunted Mansion presentation, we immediately started thinking about who we could include that was intimately involved with the attraction's design. While Alice didn't directly work on the mansion, her late husband Mark Davis did. He was one of the visionary creatives behind its development and is considered one of the greatest Disney Imagineers that ever lived. His genius and artistic know-how set the level of standards that the themed entertainment industry continues to strive for to this very day. Having Alice with us to represent Mark and share stories about his involvement in the development of the Haunted Mansion is fantastic and will really be special for theme park and Halloween fans in attendance. Tickets to Scare LA 2014 are now on sale. The event will be held August 9th and 10th at The Reef, formerly the LA Mart, in downtown Los Angeles. The Haunted Mansion presentation will take place the morning of August 9th. For more information, visit www.scarela.com. We have this news from the Muncie Haunted Forest in Muncie, Indiana. Do you have a flair for the macabre? Does your face light up talking about hanging body parts in the woods? You may need help. Or you may need to join the Haunted Forest Planning Committee. We're looking for a few dedicated volunteers who have ideas for haunts and or can help build them for the 2014 Haunted Forest. Contact us via Facebook at facebook.com/Muncie Haunted Forest. We have some interesting news from Skulls Unlimited in Oklahoma City. Skulls Unlimited International is the world's leading supplier of real and replica skulls and skeletons. From over 500 species of animals to a large variety of human products, Skulls Unlimited is sure to fulfill all your osteological needs. Skulls Unlimited is currently looking for a full-time articulated position, and some experience is required. For more information, email jjr, that's J-A-Y-J-R, at skullsunlimited.com. We have an update from Not Scary Farm in Buena Park, California. Back by overwhelming demand, Elvira, the legendary mistress of the dark, will headline Not Scary Farm in 2014. Elvira's all-new show will feature her signature blend of comedy and sass, along with singing, dancing, and explosive special effects. Not Scary Farm runs select nights from September 25th through November 1st. Visit www.knotts.com to learn more. We have this news from the Freakling Brothers Horror Shows in Las Vegas. Crew call! We have a supervisory position for a stage tech at the Gates of Hell. Must have good handyman or fix-it skills, good leadership skills, good physical shape, electrician or carpentry experience a plus, and of course, you must love Halloween. History with the company is also a plus, but not required. We're looking for someone willing to commit for the long term and grow with the company. Email resumes or inquire to contact@freaklingbros.com. Interviews and hiring will happen fast. We have this news from the upcoming film, Dracula Untold. While there have been plenty of portrayals of Dracula in the media, Universal's upcoming Dracula Untold aims to shed some new light on the tale with the help of a lot of action. The first trailer for the movie has hit the web. Luke Evans stars as Vlad Tepes. While he is very powerful in human form, he becomes a vampire to protect his family after a stronger threat is posed by a greedy Turkish sultan, played by Dominic Cooper. The ancient vampire who helps Tepes undergo his transformation is played by Charles Dance, who portrays Tywin Lannister on Game of Thrones. Even Thrones fans may not notice the actor at first, as he's almost unrecognizable in the clip. Lorde provides the eerie soundtrack with her cover of Tears for Fears' Everybody Wants to Rule the World, a song recorded for The Hunger Games' Catching Fire. The horror action film marks director Gary Shore's feature debut. Dracula Untold is set to bow out October 7th. A trailer for the film is now on YouTube, or visit DraculaUntold.com for more news as it becomes available. We have this news from the Dark Hour Haunted House in Plano, Texas. Plano's Dark Hour Haunted House is open July 18th and 19th for a very special engagement, Dog Days of Summer. Things get hairy when you come face to face with the most terrifying werewolves imaginable. Don't miss this limited two-night event. For details, visit darkhourhauntedhouse.com. And finally, we have some news from Disney's Halloween events. Halloween time at the Disneyland Resort transforms Disneyland and Disney California Adventure Parks into cheerfully spooky, family-friendly Halloween environments beginning Friday, September 12th. Highlights include the seasonal re-theming of Haunted Mansion Holiday and Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy, Mickey Mouse and his friends in Halloween costumes, and a very special focus on Disney villains. The after-hours separate ticket Mickey's Halloween Party, a popular Halloween time highlight for many Disneyland park guests, will expand to 14 special nights this year. Mickey's Halloween Party invites adults and children to dress up in costume and trick-or-treat at Disneyland Park, enjoying candy and healthy treats. Party guests get the extra benefit of being able to arrive early and play in Disneyland for 3 hours prior to the start of Mickey's private bash. The 2014 dates for Mickey's Halloween Party are September 26th, September 30th, October 3rd, 6th, 8th, 10th, 14th, 17th, 20th, 22nd, 24th, 27th, the 29th, and Friday, October 31st. Tickets to Mickey's Halloween Party go on sale for annual pass holders, Disney Vacation Club members, and Disney Visa Gold Card members on Wednesday, July 16th, and for the general public on Wednesday, July 30th. They may be purchased online and for the first time on mobile devices at disneyland.com/party, as well as the Disneyland Resort main gate and by phone at 714-781-4400. Online purchase is not available on the day of the event. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. And folks, it is that time of the show that we like to give away great prizes just for being a listener. Once again, it's time for the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. Go to ScreamlineStudios.com and check out their really cool stuff. You know how this works. Somewhere in the show is the answer to a question I'm about to ask you. If you think you know that answer, email us your name and your number to contest@bigscaryshow.com. before midnight on July 21st. Without further ado, the question for July's Gruesome Giveaway is... what is the name of Elvira's new CD? If you think you know the answer, send us your name and number to contest@bigscaryshow.com before midnight on July 21st, and you just might be a winner. Once again, thank you, Gruesome Giveaway, for bringing us some fantastic prizes to give away, and good luck.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is the Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right, I got two words for you. Potato salad. That's right, I am just fascinated by the Kickstarter campaign for the potato salad. You know, start off nice, modest goal. Hey, I want to make some potato salad. People give me money, make some potato salad. Now, it's one of those things which I think is, you know, just shows what's wrong with Kickstarter. Hey, let me do capital without any work and something for it. But this is a lightning in a bottle. There's an absolute genius and just an exploitation of people wanting to spend money and, you know, trendy hot things like Kickstarter campaigns and potato salad. I mean, it's just funny and a joke, and that's where it is. People find the value, they find the entertainment in it, and they go, hey, you know what? Ha, that's funny, you got that in there, you caught the lightning bottle. Here's $2-3, go make your potato salad. And it adds up. You get the response to it, and this whole campaign is up to like $43,000. Now it fluctuates because every once in a while you got some crazy person who, you know, wants to make a statement and, you know, makes a fake $10,000 pledge or something like that, which I don't understand. There's the whole funny and everything for it, which is very confusing. But it just goes to show a whole bunch of things. Even in bad economies, even in, you know, concepts that don't make sense, if you can get the volume and attract interest and get things going and have people believe that they have the value for the dollar, and you don't overreach your goals, you don't overpromise what you're doing, you're going to find stupendous success. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to happen anytime and you can go, you know, do monster bites for your haunt and, you know, expect to get 40 grand for a Kickstarter for it. No, this is Lightning and Bob. The other thing is, too, I don't believe anything on the internet is real. So, you know, come to me. I wouldn't be surprised if this ever comes out. It's actually a quote-unquote viral campaign by, like, Hellman's or something, and this guy's just put up to it. And, you know, Hellman spent, like, 22 grand in advertising funds to actually push a Kickstarter, which in itself isn't a bad idea if you think about it. You think about logistics and something, hey, they've done a whole lot more promotion for it, but it's a whole viral thing and not using a brand name and everything in there. So it's a whole different concept to it. But this still just goes and shows there are opportunities out there. There are ways to get lightning in the bottle. Show that value. Go for the quantity. And you can have success, and maybe you're going to be the one on a morning show with some crazy idea, which is just getting people excited about something as simple as potato salad. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is, because we sure do. It's time, of course, for the Round Table of Terror. And you know, it is the middle of build season. Everybody's working on their haunts. They're getting their scenes made. They're clearing their trails. They're building their barns. They're getting their hay planted and their corn planted and all that good stuff. And of course, one of the most important parts of a haunted house are the actors. It's that time. A lot of haunts have already started hiring. A lot of haunts are getting ready to start hiring. What makes a good actor? What doesn't make a good actor? All the hosts have been actors at one point or another. Some are still actors. Some are, you know, branching out a little bit elsewhere. And we decided to talk acting tonight, primarily kind of as a catalyst. A few days ago, we posted something on Facebook called How to Avoid Ticking Off the Actors in a Haunted House. And let's just say that actually generated a lot of response. We currently have over 54,000 people reached, whatever that means, on Facebook. And a lot of people have commented about it. It's good advice, bad advice, it's good, it's bad. Who knows? We're going to talk about it. A little bit of acting, what's a good actor, what's not, with our four hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from Sharkland, USA.
The unknown scare actor.
You too can own the Big Scary Show hearse. Just check Cincinnati Craigslist.
The haunt-instrumentalist Jerry Vane.
Welcome to Hell's Ass Crack.
My name is Drew Badger, picking corn and vegetables as we speak, almost. We're talking actors. Gentlemen, we've all done it. Jerry less than others, no offense. What makes a good actor in your opinion?
Being able to adjust their
dialogue and how other character reacts to certain situations on the fly. I saw that firsthand in Scaratorium this last MHC with Jim. Who was the guy that was in the room before you?
That was Zach Foster.
Zach. Yeah, I could hear him from where I was at, and he kept... I noticed he was talking one way, and then the next minute completely changed the changed his character up and made a big difference.
Well,
that kind of stuff impresses me.
He had to change his character because what initially was presented to him wasn't working. It wasn't really eliciting any response whatsoever. So he just, I don't know, flipped a switch. Because I've never known him to just change like that. He's been pretty solid with his characters, but this level of improvisation that he showed really made me proud because he is part of my team. And
what team would that be, Jim?
Well, that would be Maul, the Mobile Actors United Legion. Thank you for that segue.
I do what I can.
Screw the Justice League. We got the Mobile Actor United League. Yeah.
Didn't they fight the bugs in Starship Troopers?
Yeah, well, they were going after Sharknado.
That was Rico's Roughnecks, I think.
Yeah, there was a new one announced too, but don't get me started on shark movies.
Sharknado 3.
Warwick. No.
The Return of Steve.
Sharktopus versus
Terracuda.
Terracuda, that's it. Yes.
Purukuda.
Gotta wonder how the acting is going to be in that.
Let's get this back on the topic here.
Kind of a choice, actually.
What about you, Badger? I mean,
yes, Badger. On a scale of 1 to Tara Reid, what kind of actors do you work with?
Well, I thought Tara Reid was a 1. So are you saying like 1 to 1?
Yeah, we're going negative. Yeah.
Okay. How not to act. I love the fact that, as Jerry said, the ability to improvise on the fly. I mean, you know, let's face it, Jerry, when you were working at the Scaratorium, as were all of us who were there, we were acting in front of a bunch of haunters. And haunters don't normally get scared of stuff. They've seen it all. They're all jaded and stuff. It was the people who were drugged there, the wives and the boyfriends and the girlfriends who were like, oh, come to the haunted house, and the few general public who showed up that actually responded the way we wanted to. So I saw a lot of different acting techniques in the room that I was in, but the ability to change it, you know, if one scare doesn't work, pop something else up and see what happens. You know, I teach this in my classes. The art of improvisation goes very, very far, and if you can't be scary, at least be entertaining. You know, these people go out and spend a lot of money to go through a haunted house, and nothing is worse than paying $20, $25 to go through a haunt, and it's just full of a bunch of crappy actors who get in your face, yell, and then stand there, wait for you to walk away, or you go around the corner and there's someone texting because they don't realize that you've entered the room yet. And, you know, seeing all that garbage like that, nothing turns off somebody going through a haunted house than bad acting in that kind of aspect.
You know, I agree with you, and, you know, it's my mantra, and I teach it not only to any of my students, but I've instilled it in my entire team. If you can't scare them, entertain them. Make
Absolutely.
Them laugh. Do something to make them feel that they've gotten their money's worth.
If you can give them a WTF moment, that's just gravy right there.
Absolutely.
And I've had moments where I've tried to pull a scare and nothing happens. They're staring at me, and I'll do a little soft shoe out of the room. Like little da 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 ba. Just something like out of Bugs Bunny. And the people are like, what the heck just happened? And they laugh, and then they move on to the next room.
Right.
And it's fun. It really throws people off. I've had a good time doing that. In fact, when I do cue line acting, I tend to do a lot more humor than actually going for heavy, heavy scares. You know, I like to do a little sneak up behind and maybe dance with somebody or try to give a high five and then do the, oh no, too slow, and you know, and you do that with a kid and all his friends are like, ooh, and you know, that's, it's entertainment to me.
Right.
So, you know, we worked at Netherworld last November, and you know, those are just top-notch people down there, but you know, we were just having fun. And I think that's the overwhelming thing that you've got to do as an actor, is you've got to have fun with what you're doing. If you're miserable in the room you're working in, or if you're, you know, not enjoying what you're doing, you're not gonna give it 100%. And that doesn't do anybody any good.
And you know, to add to that, when you've got a great actor, and I use that term liberally, but if you're confined to certain routines that aren't working, it makes it real difficult.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you hit it on the head big time. That's one of the things, for me, working with an actor, I like seeing somebody grow as both a person and as an actor. When they stop growing, and that's that, you know, like diva thing. You can have somebody who's been an incredible actor at your haunt for 10 years, but the moment that they think they know it all, and then they're down to the one scare, that's all they can do, they're worthless to you. It gets to a point where you can have people who've worked for your haunt for 10 or plus years, you gotta cut them if they're not growing with the show.
You know, you don't normally keep that same show for 10 years, so why keep the same act or the same scare for 10 years?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We change our theme every year and change things up, but it becomes that this actor only does the drop down, this actor only does the startle scare, this actor only does the glamorous vampire presentation thing. They've become stagnant as an actor, and then they get this whole diva thing, then they're showing up 10 minutes late for makeup and this many minutes late for makeup, and you know, you can get this whole diva thing, and an actor who's been an asset for 10 years suddenly will become a detriment to the show, and then that will reflect in attendance, and it'll set a tone and become a cancer within your acting troupe.
What gets annoying to me is when you see these actors who, like you said, think they're more than they really are, think they're better than they really are, and you sit there. You know, there were some actors that I have seen posting online about how great they are, da-da-da-da-da-da, and I finally see them in, you know, in action, and I literally sat there and went, huh? How did you think you were that great? Because it, you know, I'm not saying that I can spot a good one from a bad one, but there, you know, it's, you know, I've watched all three of you go out, you know, work, and I've sat there and, you know, okay, you know, Jim especially, how the hell you pull that growl out of your throat is anybody's damn guess. but it, you know, to sit there and see some of these people in action, you know, it makes you question where they're getting the impression that they think they're that good. And by having that attitude of thinking how great they are, that can actually become an issue for the haunt, in my opinion, as well, when you've got these actors who think they're better than they really are. I mean, I know I'm not an actor, and I was very, you know, flattered that Kelly Collins asked me to act at the Scaratorium for MHC the last couple times. I don't know how to scare anyone. I mean, other than, you know, dropping my pants and making everybody laugh. You know, but like Jim said, or was it Jim or I forgot who mentioned it. You know, for MHC, you're trying to, you know, impress these haunters. I realized I couldn't scare anybody, so I turned the character around and made him goofy as hell. That caught people off guard. They were laughing and not expecting the setup in the next room. That's just something that, you know, you guys told me before I went into the haunt. Hey, dude, if this doesn't work, try something else. This doesn't work. And I'm not an actor. But that little advice works, you know, to take advice from other people and don't go around thinking you're all that, because there's always going to be somebody better than you.
Well, see, Jerry, you know, I got to say, I heard your routine, I'm sure, as much as you heard my routine that night. But you've got an intuition for acting, and I'll tell you why. And that's because you had an electroshock doctor. You brought up that Stitch voice a lot of the time, and you acted goofy, so it just kind of all worked, like he was just a bit whacked.
You see, so in other words, I was acting normal.
You were acting the way I would picture an electroshock doctor to act. That's one of the reasons I didn't choose that character, because I had the choice of either that or the dentist. And I thought I could be more intimidating, and it turned out I was, as the dentist. But you, as the electroshock doc, it was great. I mean, a lot of people recognized you, but...
Some people did, some people didn't. You know, I wasn't trying to get recognition. I was just like, what am I going to do here?
No, I
and
know.
You can, Chris, your Canadian bride, can even attest to this, that before we even started, I was trying all these different things. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I'm asking her, and she said, just wing it. Yep. Just go with what you know.
Exactly.
And yeah, I mean, I think you were more intimidating as the dentist than you would have been as the electroshock guy.
Right.
And Kelly even told me, I pictured you pictured me for that part, because I'm not a big guy.
Right.
You know, I'm a small dude. So you got, and you look at some of the characters, you know, in the old horror films, the psycho doctor is this little skinny dude.
Right.
You know, this little guy, and that seemed to fit. And then, like you said, your dentist, you as a dentist, see you guys try it out before the crowd came through, and I'm going, hell no, I couldn't do that.
Here's a question for you when we're talking about stagnant scares and things. What if you're the quote-unquote featured actor at a haunt, and you're the reason that people come to see the haunt? Is, you know, you're the guy in the queue line, or you're the big butcher, or you're the big chainsaw guy, or whatever. You know, let's face it, the haunt business does have a bit of an ego-driven, you know, undercurrent when it comes to acting. You know, we're all do it for various reasons, but ego is probably a little bit in there. You know, what do you do? How do you change the mindset of somebody who's been there 10 years as, you know, Bully the Butcher, and everybody loves Bully the Butcher, and they come see him year after year after year, and you're tired of the way he does it, and you want him to expand his repertoire, but the people still like what they see.
It's like that for any business, and you know, you think you don't want to lose a customer base. The first thing here is people come to see the show. They're not coming to see one character or one actor. Now, there'll always be one character, one actor, one scene, or something that the people are going to talk about in the car. And that's where that falls in. But when you start thinking people are coming to see me, or people are coming just to see one character, you've thought yourself in such a box that now you're just retaining people, and you're not providing the best show, and you're not growing your customer base. You can step out of that box. Don't be afraid to do something different. We've had a character, an actress with, you know, our haunt past few years, very talented, really good, and she's done this character of Mother. In the first year, we had Mother's House, and she liked doing that. It's a lot of fun. Then another year, we did Mother's Kitchen, and Mother was running this, like, diner kitchen thing. And then the year after that, we had Mother's, zombie slave shop, and they were all making toys. So she did that for a few years, and then she said, people love Mother, it's a lot of fun, I need to take a break from it this year. And that helps with the burnout. So it's a little bit with the actor, but it's not going to ruin your show by changing a character or omitting one or giving an actor someplace to go. People are still going to come, and you're going to expand, and you're going to get that next level of actor. And then, you know, that's where you challenge some of your actors too. One of the things we run into is where they all want to growl and have that startle scare. They all want the same thing. And, you know, for a scene to work, sometimes you need the actor to be the diversion, to set it up, to have that creepy scare. You know, it's great having, you know, the people in a group scream and run in terror. It's also fantastic when you see, you know, a father with a bunch of kids shudder because you've whispered something creepy right behind him.
Nice. Well, I do want to take this time to remind everybody that you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. We are talking actors. We're going to take a really quick break to pay a few bills, and we'll be right back.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. creepycollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find creepy collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are back to the Round Table of Terror here on the Big Scary Show with Storm, the Unknown Scare Actor, the Haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane. My name is Drew Badger. We are talking acting. But you can't have real good actors unless you got customers to see them act. And as I mentioned at the top of the roundtable, we posted this little article from wikihow.com, How to Avoid Ticking Off the Actors in a Haunted House. Got a lot of reaction on Facebook. And if you haven't seen the article, go to our Facebook page and scroll down. We may put it back at the top of the page. I don't know. But it was fascinating. A lot of it is super common sense. And if you've been acting for any length of time, you've probably seen at least 25 of the 26 out there. Personally, I think if you just do number 5 as a customer, you'll have no issues. But we all know or have all had experiences with that person in the haunt. The dreaded what to do when things go wrong, or what to do when somebody doesn't react the way they're supposed to, and what to do when somebody basically just tries to screw with you as an actor. Gentlemen who have had extensive and less than extensive acting experience, how do you guys handle, for lack of a better word, hecklers or people who are just in there to mess with you?
Well, you know, it's been my experience that every situation's different when it comes to that type of patron. Because, and again, it's where your skills have to come into play, is you have to mold yourself to the moment to recover from this. I think the only one that I can say that I honestly never recovered from, or actually I took like 3 beats before I recovered, so you could see the gap there, was a couple of years ago. I was working the queue line, and I was wearing my Dean mask, or as my meat bag mask from CFX, and I walked up to this couple in the queue line. I like to do the stalk scare in the queue line, and got right behind this woman and stood just right behind her, and all of a sudden she turned around, grabbed me, and kissed me full on the mouth. Okay, so I sat there and thought, I'm sitting there, 1, 2, I'm like counting the seconds in my head, what do I do? So I finally came out with, tastes like chicken. They laughed. I recovered. It was noticeable, but I recovered. And that's, you know, it's going to happen. We just got to make sure we recover as quickly as possible.
And you know what? People are going to come up with something that's going to throw you off your game for a second. I've done a lot of costumes where I can't see shit. I'm walking around without my glasses on, my peripheral vision's gone, I got boots, I got stuff hanging off of me. I will trip and fall all the time, and you just keep going with it. You know, hey, the person who saw it, good for them, it's awesome, but you know, you don't pull it more to yourself. You can't be perfect all the time, and I think that's also part of why people like haunts. Because you are going to have some of these imperfections. You are going to be trusted enough with your scene that if somebody comes through your haunt twice in the same season, they're not going to get the exact same show. And part of that is you're constantly developing your character, reacting to people, and sometimes you might be a little off with a scare or what a group has just done to try and throw you off. Hey, good for them, and you know, you there's a jerk factor, and then there's a, all right, yeah, that's what you guys want from the show? All right, next time I'm going to get you, and you just got to be prepared for next time.
Well, how about when I was working at the Scaratorium a couple of years ago, and you came walking through, I'm nailing my lines and everything. You came up, looked at me, stuck the microphone in my face, and I lost it.
Haunt actors are the worst patrons ever, and it's, you know, it's our own fault because we want to walk through slow. We want to look at all the cool stuff. We know what an actor's going to do. I mean, it's a challenge to impress, entertain, and scare other haunt actors, and kudos when you do it, but we are the awful patrons. We're not there to ruin your show, and we're not that 15% jerk factor, but we're those... We're the patrons you're not talking about at the end of the night up in the casting area. Well, you know, it's not a battle story. We're the mediocre jerks.
We've never pissed our pants in a haunt.
Good point.
But how many of you have heard the following? And please feel free to include your own. Let's see. What are you supposed to be? That one I get about 10 times a night. How much do they pay you? You're cute, or you're hot, or can I have your number?
Yes.
Let's see. What other ones do we hear all the damn time? You're not scary. You ain't scary.
I got veins. Don't quit your day job.
Well, yeah. You get a lot of high fives. You have people talking in funny voices, trying to ask you questions. You got, oh, I want to be scary. Oh, I can work here. What can I do? And you just got to play with it with your character. You know, for Q-Line and some of the characters I am, sometimes it's a matter of walking away and ignoring them. That usually annoys the jerks the most, and they'll either get too fired up that they embarrass their friends, or they settle down a little bit. I've had ones who can be jerks at the beginning of the night. Your best friend for any scene and safety and everything is a flashlight. You know, those little $1-$2 LED flashlights. Have that in your pocket, because when you have an actor who poses a danger to yourself or a group, you pop that thing in their eyes. You don't have to break character. Suddenly they got a light in their eyes, they can't handle it. Usually if they're on something, you know, some sort of altering effect thing, drugs, alcohol, whatever, the bright light really throws them off because their eyes cannot, you know, focus on it. They can't react to it. So it puts you back in control if there's security or management and this person is a threat to, you know, the people around them, your other actors. You're now highlighting and pointing them out. I mean, you know, there are times when you say nothing, you walk and you fall with that light on it. The people in their group are going, move away and let the show go on, and this guy's just going to walk out as fast as he can, and security owners or giant farmhand with a truck named Bubba are going to handle it at the exit.
I'm sure you meant Bubba to say customer and not actor that poses a danger, but we'll let that one slide.
Yeah.
I think you and I were taking Hauntertainer U with Crazy Bob Turner back in 08 at MHC, and he was trying to get lists from everybody of, you know, clever comebacks and quippy one-liners and things that will throw people off.
That's actually what I think is spectacular about this how-to and this thing. These are 26 situations that every actor should have one or two responses to in it for their character.
Absolutely, I mean, agree.
Print this out, write it out, and write your responses to it. That's what I think this thing is best for. As for a tool to have people go through your haunt better, I don't get it. I'm one of those people who hate the big, long list of rules at a haunt. Oh, stand against the wall with your head above your hands and, you know, walk through the mirror maze with your hands on your head and do this and turn around when I tell you. That never translates to me as a fun experience with a haunt and stuff. Just so many rules and stuff. To me, to your patrons, this, you know, by rule 26, you're insulting 85% of your customer base, because some of it is so common sense. So, you know, you're not a 5-year-old. This is like something you need to tell a 10-year-old who just had a bunch of cotton candy before they go in. To the other 15%, your jerk factor, I see some of this as a challenge to them. And, you know, like I said, this is a great tool as an actor. Be prepared for every single one of these, because you could have everyone you're on read this before they come through, all your customers, and it's still going to happen. So as a how-to, and will it make a better experience for people going through a haunt? I don't think so at all. And I question some of the sanity and some of the, you know, psychiatric things going on in the art and the, and you know, all these 26 rules and stuff. I think a very angry haunt actor created this thing. You know, the patrons in it are all these very unsure, you know, shaky. At first, I thought it was like a satire to your, you know, emergency plane graphics showing stuff to do. But, you know, as you look at it, it's deeper and darker, and you're like, well, geez, is this how this actor is viewing every patron that goes through their haunt? Because if so, this is, they need to talk about some things.
I think rules number 5 and 6 could have been the only thing you put in this article. Number 5, if there are rules, listen to them. And most of the rules are number 6. Do not touch the actors. Unless you're an extreme haunted house where it's explicitly stated that you will get touched. You know, don't mess with us as actors. We don't want you messing with us. We're not going to mess with you. We're not going to grab you. We're not going to carry your girlfriend out into another room or put them away or something like that. But just don't get in our face. Don't spit on us. Don't throw things at us. And above all, just go through and enjoy the experience. You know,
don't be a dick.
That's a great way of saying it. You know, Jim has worked at theme parks. I've worked at theme parks. I remember, you know, having 30,000 plus people in the park at once. And that's a lot of damn people. And, yes, you know, even at 15% jerk factor, that's a lot of jerky people in a haunt. And, you know, I remember fights breaking out, just not even in the haunts themselves, but just in the park. I remember people, you know, because it was a theme park and they had games, I would remember doing like statue or mannequin scares, and people would throw basketballs at you and pennies and bark and rocks and stuff trying to get you to move. I mean, you know, it doesn't accomplish anything, and other people around you are, you know, you can tell some of those people are like, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this guy to move. So I'm going to throw a basketball at his head. Well, you throw a basketball at me, I throw you out of the park, because that's considered assault in the state
that I live in. With a basketball jammed up your orifice.
Or something. You know, I had a guy my last year working at that particular theme park, 30 seconds after the doors open, he came running up behind me and tried to grab the cane I had in my hand. He had been drinking, it sure looked like it, and he thought it would be funny. Until he was thrown out of the park 90 seconds after the doors opened and was yelling and screaming that he wanted his money back. We don't give refunds. And his girlfriend just looked like, you know, she just could have crawled into a hole and died. But, you know, you're going to get that jerk factor anywhere.
That's the same thing with being a musician as well. I mean, I've had that happen with shows that I've done. You know, my past band was a glam band, and I was open. You know, if there's any opening a door to for, you know, getting, you know, crap from people, is was doing that. And yeah, same situation. We had people. I had guys throwing beer bottles at me just because of the way I looked. And you got to learn to adapt and deal with it. You know, you can only you'll sit there and put up with it for so long. And like you said, you will turn around and, you know, move on to the next person. Let this guy make an ass of himself. And then you get that one that just wants to see how far he can push it. I had some guy come up and, you know, knock me with a bottle. He got the edge of my guitar right in his mouth. You know, now granted that's something you guys can't do, but yeah, we still my guitar has teeth marks in it now. And it's you got to deal with that jerk factor, and it ruins it for everybody else.
Sure. Especially if they're with a group and that guy gets taken out, whether it's thrown out of a club or thrown out of a haunt, then not only is he gone, but you know, his friends might be gone too, and then they get all pissed at that guy, and hopefully they start thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But they probably won't. They'll probably go out the next Friday or Saturday. Hey, let's go drinking, and then let's go to the haunted house and F with the actors. Woohoo! What fun.
You know, to take a step back for a second, We were talking about things that people shouldn't do to actors, or the quippy one-line things that we hear all the time, you know, the what's your number, oh, you're hot, et cetera, et cetera. The one thing, the one that drives me crazy the most, I think, is when you accidentally bump into people at times. It happens. And what's the first thing out of the mouth? You touched me, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah, I can't argue with that one. I've had that happen many times,
you know,
as well.
I'm so tired of hearing that. They think they're all, you know, high and mighty. Oh, well, I'm going to sue you. And it's just like, I looked and I said, how are they going to sue you? How are they going to sue me if there's no body?
See, yeah, that's a great response. Those ones I always... It doesn't make sense. You pay good money and you have that much sensibility about you that, ooh, I can't even have one bump into me. I understand. I've had people get uncomfortable if I've gotten too much into their personal space. And then you read that and you back off and it goes. And sometimes they come back up and apologize. They go, I'm sorry, you just creep me out. I mean, we're merchants of fear. So right. We're going to get into people's personal space and we're going to affect their behavior. But I can never understand the ones who are coming into it and just... Why did you show up? I mean, it's not even ones who are being drugged there with their friends and everybody's having a good time because you're overreacting to it. It's like, why are you here?
Exactly. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how do you guys react? These things happen, and sometimes it gets you fired up, and then suddenly you've dealt with a rowdy customer. They've created a situation. They've had the scene, but it's been taken care of, where it's security, where they've moved on. How do you recover for that? How do you keep it going? If this happens an hour or two of the show, how do you get through the next two or three hours? What have you guys found are good ways to recover as an actor from when something really throws off your flow?
I will usually, and I've had, for your words, flow thrown off, I've said I'll be back in 5 minutes, get the swing man to come and work this room for 5 minutes, or leave it blank. If I don't compose myself, I'm going to be an absolute ass of an actor the rest of the night. I need to just get my skin thick again, calm down, take a couple deep breaths, and let it go. You have to have thick skin in this business, no matter what they do.
Agreed. And for me, it wasn't quite as drastic, but where I used to work, access to the backstage was real simple for me all through the past 4 years. So if it really got bad, I had multiple exits. I would look at one of the other guys. I'm stepping out for a couple of minutes, compose myself, and I wasn't even out long enough to really miss any good scares. But just those few seconds out back without having to deal with anything was enough to recompose myself.
Absolutely.
Now, Storm, you brought up a point where, they pay their money and they should act, like responsible people. But, conversely, there are people who say, well, I paid my $20 to come in here. I'm going to do what I want to, because without me, you don't even exist. And, it hasn't happened to me per se, but if you're a female actor or actress, people will come up and touch you and grab you and have, I don't know a female that has worked in this industry more than a couple of years that probably hasn't been made at least slightly uncomfortable by being hit on or touched or groped or something like that, because, hey, I've paid $20, I'm going to go in here and touch the really cute chick that's sitting here in a corset and high heels and fishnets, and I'm just going to go and squeeze myself something, and I'm going to walk out of here.
Which is an absolutely ridiculous mentality.
Absolutely.
I also get, elite. Exactly. I get being a jerk and stuff, but that's where, as a manager, planning your actors pays off big. Planning your scenes pays off big. This is where the horror iconic dynamic of helpless or innocent girl and hulking big monster. I can guarantee you, no one pulls that garbage when there is a 6'2" guy standing next to him.
That's why
if,
you
if, if in that scene you got the innocent, the cute girl that they're going to screw with, make sure that scene or within 10 feet of them is one of your biggest actors you got, because that will shut down that behavior instantly.
I do not like to see people working rooms unless they're very small by themselves, unless they're a specific character. I love pairing people up, especially because I'm just a huge fan of distraction. But like you said, you know, I there are female actors in this business, and we can name several of them without even thinking about it, who can hold their own in any situation. You know, let's not, you know, say they're all, you know, helpless little females, because they're absolutely not. You know who we're talking about. But I do agree that, you know, having somebody at least a room away and not putting, you know, really anybody in a room, and then have two empty rooms or two long corridors where they don't have help within 10 feet. You know, what if somebody just takes a swing at them and kicks them or punches them or, you know, God forbid, what if they become, you know, succumb to fog or strobe lights and they didn't realize they had a sensitivity towards it, and there's nobody within 10 to 20 feet of them or in that room to help. You know, I like pairing actors together. You know, again, if it's a small room, obviously you got to work with what you got. But you know, I'm just not a huge fan of working solo, and I think that's just because in the theme park, you know, I was there for 8 years. You really had to watch your back, because you did not know when you had 10, 15, 30,000 people in the park what somebody would do to you. You know, we had a guy who got kicked in the head and cracked his orbital bone in his skull because somebody thought it would be funny to kick him with steel-toed shoes, because he was crouching down waiting for a scare, and the guy just kind of ran up and bam, kicked him, and he never worked again. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't, you know, permanently injured or anything. He just said, "I'm never coming back," and he was a good actor. And you know, if he had had somebody close by, probably would never have happened. So, you know.
And this is also where it's important as your owners and designers to really think of your scene. If you're in a situation where you can only have the one actor in that room, or you have an actor of small stature that has to be there, you can always elevate the scare. I mean, even crypts and graves where traditionally you have somebody coming out their ankles, you can elevate that. And when you've put the actor up higher than the patrons, there is a security that's there, and there's more control to the actor. There's a place for them to get away. That's another important thing to have in scenes. Some place where they can get away and where a patron really isn't going to be able to follow.
Absolutely.
The actors will know where things are. Patrons will get lost, and that can really be a benefit. If you have a staging area, railing. The other thing is not to be afraid of is give your actors props. Now, you don't want them beating up the scene with the props, and sometimes that's a challenge in itself. But, you know, if you have the sultry demon school teacher, you give her a ruler, she's going to be able to fend off, you know, grabby hands and stuff a lot easier. And, you know, even people with a couple of beers in them are going to think twice when they see an actress holding, you know, a 2-foot ruler in their hand too, because, you know, it's a crowd control thing. Sometimes Absolutely. I've been by myself on a very busy night, and you get all the little 12-year-olds suddenly showing off and being jerks and stuff. I've had them jump on my backs and stuff, and when you have a prop or something, you can sort of do a little bit of crowd control with it. One of my favorite props that I built was some PVC pipe, and I just made it, you know, weathered it, put holes in it with a grinder and stuff. What I did is I put a cap gun in the end of it. And yeah, so it's something you absolutely do not expect. A pipe should not make a cap gun sound. And all this little cap gun, I could replace it with the 6-wheel thing, pull off the back plug, do that, but walk around could be very intimidating with it, and the trigger was underneath of it, so you hit it with your hand, and if need be, I can tell you pull the cap gun or something like that, the little kids scatter. The ones who are causing a problem, they're scattering there, they'll get by. I've walked around as a clown with the confetti cap gun in my pocket just for that. When you get swarmed on in a queue line, you pop that thing over their heads, they part like the Red Sea, and you can get out of there.
Absolutely. Well, I guess what we're all trying to say here is, and we do need to start winding this down because the clock is ticking, is that the overall aspect we have to have as actors is to be safe. Whether it's, you know, the way that, as you said, it needs to be designed, whether it's pairing up actors, whether even putting a prop in their hand, or just not even putting them in a situation where something bad could happen. That, you know, you've got to keep them safe, you've got to keep the customers safe, you know, fire marshals and police and sheriff just love, and the local news also just loves to hear about, oh, something happened at the old haunted house this year, maybe we should not let them come back next year. You know, it just takes that one person running out, twisting an ankle, or somebody getting groped and sexually harassed to make the local rags and the local papers, and then everybody has a field day. See what you did, bringing a haunted house to this area. We knew it would be a bad idea, and nobody wants that. That's a little extreme, obviously, but you know, be safe as an actor is what it really boils down to. Looks like the clock is saying we do need to go, so even though we don't have any guests, we do have some plugs that we can certainly give out there, where we're acting this year, the name of the haunts, and where we can find everybody. If you want to come out and see one of us acting at some place, or even see Jerry the Haunt Rocker playing at some club on the Vegas Strip, who can say? But I do want to thank our hosts for talking acting tonight, including Storm, who is working at
Highland Farms, Trails to Terror, Trails, the letters T-O, terror.com in Rhode Island, a haunted hayride and a walkthrough, and man, this is like season 17 or 18. I gotta look and see with the brochure, but it's an experience. If you're in Rhode Island in October, come see us.
Excellent. Shame you're not part of Legendary this year.
It's a little late in the season for us, and we're also a good... where the farm is probably close to 90 minutes from the hotel, so you'd have to do it for that night. And come November, you know, it's a working farm and everything. There's not much left. We got to get it down after we close. So,
gotcha.
You know, we'll have some people go up to it and, you know, be part of Legendary, and there are some fantastic haunts, really... You listen to this podcast, you want to be in New England area beginning in November, right after Rhode Island Comic Con is the weekend before. You know, that's I've been to most of the haunts on this tour. Know the owners, people work there and stuff. This is going to be fantastic. It's a good showcase for New England. I'd love to have Trails of Terror part of it, but it's just not realistic for our timetable.
I'm sure Jen appreciates that plug as well. The Unknown Scare Actor, you're not going to be at the place that we're accustomed to seeing you, I understand.
That is correct. I have decided it was time for me to move on, and I have formed a group of traveling actors that decided they wanted to branch out as well. We are called the Mobile Actors United Legion, or MAL for short. We are available for bookings. If anybody wants to hire us, we'd be more than happy to come out, work your queue line if you're short some actors. You know, I've got people that are very adaptable and have good improvisation skills. Or you can, in the near future, you can look online and see a list of characters that we have, and you can select from said characters, and we can book what we can. We already do have an appearance booked for October 25th at Backwoods Oddities in Waverly, Ohio, as well as coming on July 19th, Unknown Scare Actor LLC and MAL and Screammakers Court and the Big Scary Show.
Thank you.
We are sponsoring and putting together a Haunters Academy called Terror Tech. Information can be found on MAL Stars, that's MALSTARS.wix.com/MAL, MAUL. That will bring you to the home page, and you can click on the Terror Tech link. You can get information about the address, the time, the date, which is July 19th. You can even purchase tickets ahead of time through PayPal on a link at the bottom.
I'm sure we'll have a link up on BigScaryShow.com as well as our Facebook and Twitter accounts in the next few days, probably yes. multiple times. So yes. Just keep checking back to that. And all.
So it's M-A-U-L.
Correct.
Not M-A-L, Mobile Actors Loving Liquor?
No, it's Mobile Actors United Legion. Sorry,
that's the secondary group because I'm right. sure most of
that's the one I'm. There. That's the one I'm with. Gotcha.
The Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane. I know you're not technically at a haunt this year, or are you? We're not sure. But anything you've got to plug? I know you've got some new music out that would make any haunted attraction that much better.
Yeah, I released Bodies in the Bayou at MHC the beginning of June to almost selling out my stock on it. You can get digital downloads directly from www.jerryvane.com as well as all digital media sites like iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, Spotify, you know, all of them. I am actually already three songs written in on the next CD, Cirque du Macabre, which is going to be the next album I'm hoping to have out in time for MHC next year. But right now, no, not working with any haunts directly, although I have been contacted by two to do some sound design work for them. So we will see what happens with that.
And you are still a guitarist for hire, possibly, and any bands looking for the most metal guitarist out there, right?
Well, then they got to look down the street. I am still in Las Vegas. Ohio was not going to work out for me.
It was a psych.
It was a psych, yeah. I just wanted to see if anybody actually listened.
Ohio was not ready for Jerry.
They're not ready for my awesomeness. No, or the amount of liquor I would consume.
Jerry was just afraid of the ghosts in my house.
You're that trip that you know what out of me. when my wallet and wallet chain got knocked on the floor from the middle of the table and didn't take anything else with it, that was no.
Dude, seriously, what is it with you and ghosts? They love you.
You know what? I can't get a date, so I might as well get a ghost.
He's a very handsome man.
But no, I am working with some bands here in Vegas. I am appearing with Out of the Black on and off around Vegas, as well as possibly two other acts that to be named later.
Excellent. Once again, my name is Drew Badger, owner of RabbitBadger.biz or Rabbit Badger Haunt Consulting, the owner of the Boo Camp Actor Trainer Workshop. I have a couple jobs already lined up this year out of state, although I'm based in the Carolinas. I do run specials for any haunts in the Carolinas. Contact me through my website, rabbitbadger.biz, for that. All full-service actor training, teach safety, improvisational techniques, all sorts of fun and games. So don't be left out this year. Hire me, because I'm always for hire. It says so on my website, so it must be true because it's on the internet. So contact me, Drew Badger, rabbitbadger.biz. I'll also be acting in Netherworld, I believe, the last Saturday of their season, which I believe is November 1st. I've been contacted by a couple of other haunts in a couple of states to maybe come work their queue lines. I'm sure that information will be posted on my website once that is confirmed. So check us all out. I do want to thank each and every one of our hosts for coming out this year, putting on a great time at the Scaratorium at the Midwest Haunters Convention, and we just kept missing Storm. He just seemed to be like a room in front of us.
I had the most awesome Invisible Man costume for that night.
Yeah, and the best Kelly Collins at the ball. But anyway,
very true.
I digress. Once again, this is the Big Scary Show's Roundtable of Terror. Don't you go changing. And I just had the molds taken out of my mouth. Oh, God, that was not the most pleasant thing I've ever done. But we'll see how the fangs turn out in a little while. Drew Badger, and I'm out.
Sam Haynes haunts on the Big Scary Show.
silly, but would you believe that the spirits of the dead can come back to haunt the living? Do you believe in ghosts?
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here live for the Big Scary Show at the Scares That Care weekend. It's starting to wind down on Saturday. Unfortunately, I can't be here on Sunday, so I thought I'd grab a couple minutes with the organizer, Joe Ripple, who was on our show not too very long ago talking about just this very convention. Joe, it looks like you've had some good crowds here. The celebrities have been busy. The vendors have been busy. It looks like you've had people coming in for the Q&As and everything. Scares That Care weekend, year one. How's it going?
I think it's going very well. Like with any first-year convention, we've had a few minor hiccups, but our staff has been taught and been trained how to deal with those so that we... What we realized more than anything else is that because we are a charity, that we needed to be very customer service-oriented. Instead of just telling somebody where to go, we actually take them where they need to go. Because we understand that if we falter on the customer service aspect, it could potentially impact our donations.
Sure.
So we've trained our staff to be very customer service oriented, and I think that's helped out a lot. Everybody's been very complimentary of the staff so far.
I've talked to a lot of celebrities over the past 2 days, and to a person, every one of them have said they are here in part because of the work that Scares That Cares does in helping those in need.
Yes, well, that's part of it. I mean, obviously, we brought in celebrities that are part of the genre. That's the whole key to being a charity that's kind of streamlined into a specific genre. But I couldn't be more happy with the celebrities. Everybody's been fantastic. And, you know, it's just kind of an honor to have them at our show.
I mean, I've been to conventions all over the country. And, you know, you get a couple of A-listers and a lot of B and C-listers and stuff. But you have got a, you know, let's just face it, you have got a lot of great people, especially for a first-year con.
Yeah.
And I'm a little astounded at that. But it's great. They've all been busy. They've all been... you know, meeting and greeting fans, and like I said, they're here because it's a good cause. I've been to several of the vendors, and they say they're doing good business. A lot of them are doing wonderful, and even the ones that are kind of out of the way in this upstairs area, they seem to be doing well. So All around, it seems to be pretty successful.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope it is, and I hope it's solvent enough to a point to where we can continue. As you know, doing a convention is a very, very stressful time for a lot of people.
I can't imagine it's inexpensive either.
No, it's not inexpensive. We do have bills to pay, But like I said, you know, we're doing this A for the fans and B for the, oh, excuse me, A for the families. I've been up for 36 hours,
that's
so excuse me.
Understandable.
A for the families and B for the fans. And, you know, we're hoping that the fans can come together and enjoy each other's company, enjoy the company of the celebrities and the events. And that will parlay into helping families in need.
And in the event that this does turn out to be as successful as hoped, all the bills are paid and the families have been helped, will Scares That Care have a weekend in 2015?
Well, I can say we've already been offered a contract for a hotel.
Okay. Location can't be announced at this time.
Because.
But when it does, I certainly hope you'll let us know.
I certainly will. We'll let everybody know.
Absolutely.
And, hopefully we can get the word out and get as many people involved as we can. You know, everybody from paranormal to gamers to everybody who just enjoys helping people is the most important thing.
So you might actually expand out of the horror genre to kind of incorporate the sci-fi, the gaming, and the paranormal, which is also part of horror to a point, but you might expand out just a little bit.
Yeah, just bit, just to encompass a wider range of audience. You know,
excellent.
It's important to be fluid in your business planning, but still have a business plan in place, and that's what we have.
For those who were not able to make it for whatever reasons, yet would still be interested in helping to donate to the charity or to help support that, how can they get involved, either by donations or some other way?
They can always reach us on Facebook, and donations can be made via PayPal to scares_that_care@yahoo.com.
And I assume Scares That Care has a couple of websites, one for the convention, one for the charity itself?
Yes, we do.
And those would be?
ScaresThatCare.org is our parent website, and there is a PayPal button on there where people can click to make donations.
Excellent.
And ScaresThatCareWeekend.com is the convention webpage.
And I assume that when this is all done, everything be paid, and you decide to do it again, you'll start reaching out to the Hollywood community again and the vendors and everything and bring this back even bigger and better in 2015.
Once I wake up, yes.
Absolutely. Joe Ripple, an absolute pleasure. Thank you for allowing the Big Scary Show to be a part of this. We hope to be a part of it for many years to come, and that it will be mutually beneficial to both parties. Once again, Drew Badger here for the Big Scary Show at the Scares That Care Weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia, and we are out.
Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Well, here we are in the middle of build season, and there's people, you know, haunt owners out buying things, getting ready for the season. And some people, myself included, are probably going to buy a hearse. I actually did buy a hearse several months ago, and it's been a labor of love, so to speak. It's be prepared when you buy a hearse, especially if you buy an older hearse, and if you can afford a brand new hearse, more power to you. But also be prepared to spend money to make your hearse exactly the way you want it. This can be considered a fear if you've never encountered this. I'm bringing you this fear now because I'm living it. I finally got my hearse back on the road, but you know, it took some time and some money and some customization because it's a 91 Cadillac and you can't always get all the parts for it. So, you know, you have to spend time to fabricate things, which, of course, brings you to a higher cost. So if you're ready to face the fear of owning a hearse, especially a slightly older one, then more power to you. I'm just throwing the advice out there.
Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos?
Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is. Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today. Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here live, the Scares That Care Weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia, checking out all the celebrities, all the vendors, all the cool stuff. And of course, one thing as haunted house people, as we all love to wear, is fangs. You know, you got great costumes, you get the eyes, you get the wigs, you get the makeup and the costumes, but a lot of times you get overlooked when it comes to fangs. We can all go to Hot Topic or Spencer's and buy those crappy little plastic things with the plasticines, or you could go to someone like Horror Show Jack, who would be more than happy to make you a really nice custom pair of fangs. Horror Show Jack, welcome to Scares of Care. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm having a blast here. I love this place.
It looks like you're constantly been busy here. Every time I've walked past, you look like you're filing down something, making a mold impression or something about some sort of customer getting some work done.
Yeah, we had, I'm making one for a friend of ours. I don't know.
It's a birthday
present to herself and Amanda from Fright Night. She was also on Married with Children. She came over last night and she's like, oh, I want a pair. I'm like, okay.
That's Amanda Bierce.
Yep. I'm horrible with names.
Well, you got a whole list of clients here that you've worked with. Anthony Michael Hall, Derek Mears, Tia Carrera, among others.
Yeah. Well, I haven't gotten to work with them as far as cinema. They're just friends that have come to the booth,
sure,
and gotten fangs. And
well, you can say you've given Derek Mears a pair of fangs. We'll believe that.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
So tell us why you should not go to Hot Topic and buy a pair of the cheap crap fangs. Of course, you know, if you're a vampire, if you're a werewolf, if you're a monster of any kind, you've got to have a really good pair of fangs.
What people don't realize with the fangs is, and this is what leads to a lot of dental problems, is people want a very quick solution. The plastic that you melt on the fangs in from Hot Topic, every time you put them on your tooth, they go over your tooth, but they also go over the gum line. And what the plastic is doing is rubbing away at the rim of your gum. Yeah. And if you wear them once in a while, it's not a problem. You wear them like, you know, two or three times around Halloween for parties, and that's all you wear them all year round. It's going to be like 30 years before, you know, it can cause a problem. But if you wear them every weekend or every other weekend or every day, like I do for my business.
We all know those people that wear fangs and pop them in every single day.
They, you know, it's literally going to expose your gum line and expose the root of your tooth, which actually happened to me long before I was making the fangs. These literally go right to your gum line. The fangs we make protect the integrity, the enamel, and the gum line of your teeth. There are other fang makers out there that do something that's very, very dangerous. We take a dental impression. A lot of other people, a lot of other fang makers make them right on your actual tooth. And that is completely and utterly dangerous. It's fast, and people want everything right now, right now. You want perfection, you need patience. And that's what I have to tell people. And the majority of people, they understand, but there are the few people that just, I want them right now. And then they realize that they're not getting a great product. I mean, there are some fang makers out that are really, really good. They've been doing it longer than me. But the stuff that smells like the nail salon, I'm sure you smelled it when you came over to the booth.
Oh, yes.
That's an acetone. Every time you mix the acrylic with that and you put that on someone's tooth, that's damaging the enamel. If you already have anything wrong with the teeth, you could severely damage your tooth.
Sure.
And if this hardens on your tooth, we have to go in there with an X-Acto knife or something to pop it out of your mouth. Mm. So.
Doesn't sound like a fun time.
No, I am terrified of that.
So basically what you do is you make an impression, then you create the fangs, and then you just get to the... What kind of a turnaround does somebody expect for something like that?
At a convention...
Since fast is not necessarily
people
good.
People who come to me on Friday can get them right away. You know, it takes about 45 minutes. Got to wait. It also depends on the temperature. If it's really cold in the room, it takes longer for everything to dry. But I keep a heat lamp at the table and everything, and, you know, try and dry everything as quick as possible. I'm a perfectionist. Everything has to be perfect for the customer. If you're going to wear my product, it has to look good. I don't care if you like it. I have to like it. So, we do free shipping. So anyone after late Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we mail them. But, I mean, if people want, if you're number 20 and you want them today, you need them today, you...
We can work something out, yeah, cha-ching, of course.
There's a bump-up fee, unfortunately, you know.
For people interested in maybe hearing a little bit more about this, maybe seeing samples of your work, list of clients, anything like that, do you have a website or social media, anything where people can find that?
I am recently a member of Twitter. I got talked into Twitter. We are on Facebook. You can look up Horror Show Jack on Facebook or Horror Show Jack Fangsmith on Facebook, and my webpage, which is unfortunately a little deplorable right now because
under
I don't... you can look at it. It's just not impressive. HSJFangsmith.com.
So HSJFangsmith.com. Look for Horror Show Jack on all the social media sites. And again, folks, you know how important it is. If you're going to be wearing a pair of fangs 8 hours, 7 hours, 6 hours a night for 15 nights at your haunted house, you got to have them comfortable, and you don't want them damaging your teeth. So come to somebody like Horror Show Jack and get all your fang needs. Horror Show Jack, a pleasure to have you here.
Go ahead. Shout out for a friend of mine, my friend Christian, who's directing this movie, Sugar Skull Girls. Addie Miller from The Walking Dead just got a pair of fangs made from us a week ago to be in this movie, and she plays the little vampire, Sugar Skull Girl, and I'm very happy to finally have something in an actual movie now. So
awesome. So look for a Horror Show Jack's fangs on Addie Miller on Sugar Skull Girls, coming soon to a Metroplex near you, correct?
God, I hope so.
Once again, this is Drew Badger here at the Scares of Care Weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia, and we are out.
Verse 13. The Asylum Speaks. The Asylum Speaks. On the Big Scary Show. On the Big Scary Show.
in a world of generic one-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scary.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor. Videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The Hauntster medalist Jerry Vane, pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at the Midwest Haunters Convention or at jerryvane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Big Scary Show. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.